Well, welcome to Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
Well, hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Doug.
I bet you're wondering how come Carmen's not in. She couldn't make it today, but she hopefully will be in next week.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to that. I say Ghostly Talk is live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And this week, of course, this week is the second week of our Ghost Month.
Yeah.
Where we're talking with ghost hunters all month.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, since the last show, we did get to see, speaking of ghost hunters, the same titled show on Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh, yeah, we did see that.
We saw Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi Channel. And that of course, features TAPS, the Atlantic Paranormal Society.
Yeah.
And they run around in that episode. I'm not going to spoil it, but they did a ghost hunt.
Yeah, they did some work.
And they collected evidence and stuff and then presented it. So they did the work. They did ghost hunting work, and I was way impressed.
It's a great show. I mean, from what I've seen personally, the first episode, let's say, it's a great show. A lot of fun. There's a lot of laughs, too. I mean, I think everybody knows I know my opinion on reality TV, what it really is, and I just can't stand it, pretty much. But this puts it in a different context.
This is completely different.
Yeah, this puts
reality.
It's something we're obviously interested in, so, you know, we're going to be drawn to it naturally.
Well, there's that, plus it is a situation that happens.
Yeah, I mean,
when you get a call, and then you go and investigate, and then you collect the evidence, and then you go and you show it to them, and, I mean, it was real. I mean, it was done in the process that we've done investigations.
Oh, yeah. And I've seen, I mean...
They didn't have, like, oh, but, you know, because this is the TV show, they changed the rules a little bit.
No.
There wasn't any of that stuff.
It didn't seem to be.
And there was no, like, wife swapping or anything going on. So, I mean, it was all... Well, that's the current hottest show on ABC or something is Wife Swapper or something like that. I don't know. So, you know, and there's no, like, bikini-clad women or pseudo-clad men to try and distract each other and blah, blah, blah.
You never know.
It's not... Oh, maybe that's...
Hi, I have a haunting. Can you guys come over?
We'll
be right over.
They
pull up and there's some chicks sitting in her pool. I have a ghost.
You have to guess what it is.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of fun. I mean,
it's real. It's a lot more real than the reality shows I've seen.
Oh, yeah. Well, we made a trip out to the Bates House. Not the actual Bates House. The Bates.
B-A-T-E-S. No, this is B-A-I-T-E-S.
This entity that we've been talking about since we got back from Gettysburg called the Bates. His name is actually Bruce, and he's friends with the guys from W Paranormal. And he was part of the trip. If you go to ghostlytalk.com and go to our picture section, look for the Gettysburg section, you'll see pictures of the Bates. He actually looks like a Confederate soldier.
Right.
The guy is a total trip. We actually made a little trip out there over this weekend. We just came back actually about an hour ago, as a matter of fact. We pulled in about 6.
We just pulled in.
Yeah, and we went out to his property out in, is it Delton, Michigan?
Delton,
Michigan.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I mean, just get this out of the way. Beautiful piece of property Bruce has. Huge piece of property. And, you know, Bruce is an amazing guy because he really, I mean, we spent a couple days with him, you know, in the city of Gettysburg, which was more, you know, it's a city. But we got to actually, you know, go and see him in his element, like his home, his turf, you know.
Right.
And he really is one with nature. He's a woodsman. He's really into this stuff. This is what he does. And he went as far as actually, like, you know, surround himself with, you know, this property, which is just, I mean, the majority of it is woods. He has a nice little house. Well, not a little house. It's a big house he has. Really cool house. Old house. He said it's about 100 years old, the house is.
Oh, yeah. And it's really nice.
Yeah, it's a farm property, and he has the woods. And that's what, there's been some reported hauntings out there on his property. So he actually had the guys from W Paranormal come out before and do a little work. And we made a little agreement about a month and a half, 2 months ago, that we were going to come out there, too, and just hang out with the guys from W Paranormal. And collect some evidence ourselves, which we did. Unfortunately, getting back an hour ago, we didn't have a lot of time to review it yet. We actually pulled a couple things out because we Doug and myself kind of did a little different approach to the EVP collection last night, where we actually listened to the stuff on site. Like for example, the first time we did it, I went out by myself, and Bob from W Paranormal and his friend Dave came out with me, while Doug sat back and listened to the first session of EVPs we took before. So he sat there and listened to it, and we found that actually worked out real well, because we were able to pick a few things out that just didn't seem like they fit in there.
Right.
Whether they're real or not isn't the point. It's just you have a fresh mindset of what's going on, as opposed to trying to review EVP a week and a half, 2 weeks, sometimes a month after you've actually collected it, which that and that's what we're going through right now, as a matter of fact, with the Gettysburg stuff and the Logan, Ohio stuff. So, Doug had a great idea to try to do this, which I thought was great.
It ended up working out pretty good.
It worked out real well.
While the other person is out there collecting the next bunch, the next group of EVP, which is, 30 minutes or 33 minutes? Whatever.
Well, on my recorder, that's what I'm coming. 33 minutes and 29 seconds.
Right.
That's what I can record. So
and then we come back, dump it on the laptop, and then the other person goes out and the other person stays.
Yeah, so we did that a couple times last night.
Did that a few times, and we got some questionable stuff. We're still analyzing it and listening.
Well, yeah, and you're going to question more, obviously, because you just were there.
We were just there.
The thing with reviewing it that I'm finding now, like a week, two weeks, a month afterwards, is you might hear something that don't sound like it belongs, but you're going to go, well, come on, man. You're gonna lend more doubt to it because you're not going to be able to remember nearly as much as if you just did it a half an hour ago.
Right.
So you're going to be able to pick things out more and more, than whether they're anomalous or not, and you find out that they really are anomalous, that's not the point. You're just fine-tuning a little bit more, and I think that's good. On the way out there, though, we did have a nice discussion on this show, Ghost Hunter.
Yeah.
Which, the one thing I wanted to say about it was, it's a great show. I think it's really cool. Actually, the show before that, Proof Positive, is really fun.
Proof Positive, and who turned us on to that? That was our, guest of last week, Sean.
Yeah.
Of Indiana Ghost Trackers.
Mm-hmm.
He had said, oh, yeah, we're going to be on Proof Positive in November.
Yeah.
And the premiere, of course, is just before the premiere of Ghost Hunter.
Yeah.
So what we ended up doing is we watched both. And I had to tape it for
Scott
L.
You guys watched both.
I had to tape it for you, Scott L., because, you were having fun with Frankenphone.
Yeah.
And so I taped it for you, but Will and I watched it.
Yeah.
Bonnie, you had migraine that night, right? That was your once a month migraine, I hope.
No, they're quite
once a week.
They're
that.
More often once a week migraine. Well,
yeah.
that so you had migraine. You'll have to borrow the tape though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what happens is we watched it, and of course the second story I think was about Presque Isle Lighthouse.
Yeah.
And that totally rocked my world because I'm like, oh my gosh, we were just there last year. Remember when we went up to Hikey's Tomb?
Well, I wasn't there.
Right,
we remoted
from up there, yeah, and we were looking for Hikey's Tomb, and one of the things that we did while we were up there was went to Presque Isle Lighthouse.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to take out our photos and.
They did some great work on that too.
Did you put up photos on MichiganGhostbusters.org? Okay, yeah. Some of our photos of Presque Isle are up on MichiganGhostbusters.org.
Yeah. Let me tell you too, that show Proof Positive and Ghost Hunters also. You and me have the tape on Wednesday night, and I haven't had a chance all week because I was dealing with Frankenphone.
Right,
trying to get that straightened out. But I finally got things worked out Friday, so Friday night, as I was getting prepared to leave yesterday to go to the Bates property.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce's property. I had to do laundry and running around, and I actually just put the tape on the first time around and listened to the whole thing. This is like doing this background noise. So these tapes make excellent background noise if you're around the house. It's a great thing. So record the show and just pop it out, and you can learn while you're doing laundry or cleaning your house like I do. I found a lot of things with Ghost Hunters. I mean, that's the one thing I really enjoyed is I found a lot of things with Ghost Hunters that we go through exactly the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there are the issues. None of us are married down here. We don't go through those issues with our wives because we don't have any, or our husbands. But there is the financial thing. Sometimes, oh, God, I got to take more time off work to do this kind of stuff. Oh, boy, fortunately, I don't have a family to take care of either. But we all have bills to pay. And that's one thing, when you want to do this kind of thing, you do have to leave town sometimes. And that's what we found ourselves doing. We've been doing it. I mean, the context they're putting in is they got a call that they have to go
right.
3 hours.
Right. They're going to check out.
So, it's like more or less the trips we've been taking here, like this summer, we've done a lot of traveling. It's more or less just been done because we wanted to do it. We just wanted to go to Gettysburg. We wanted to go to Logan. We wanted to go out to Bruce's property and check these places out. And that's the thing is that's the point is that it's still a hobby for us, I think.
Right.
The impression that kind of irked me a little bit is the impression I hope people aren't getting from Ghost Hunters is that once you get into this is what you have to do. This is the way you have to be. You have to have your own van. You have to have your own trailer. You have to have thousands of dollars worth of equipment to do this thing, which is exactly the opposite of what we've been preaching on this show for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is a low-cost hobby. This is a fun hobby. It's about as how much fun you want to make it. But we've been doing this for almost 3 years now, and we haven't spent that much money doing it.
We've been ghost hunting for over 3 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I've put more money into Ghostly Talk, the internet radio show,
than we have actually ghost hunting.
We have in ghost hunting itself.
And we've had as far as evidence and results. You really can't gauge what had excellent results tonight. You can't gauge that. You can't gauge that because, first of all, you're not going to know what the hell's... you're not going to know for sure that night anyways until you review it properly. And how do you
gauge
excellent?
And they did, because I thought that was really amazing in Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi. They did. They took it back to the trailer, the office, and reviewed it and pulled out the interesting pieces and then brought it to, the attention and said, these are the interesting bits.
Yeah.
So they really did, go through all that evidence.
Yeah, and one thing I did see was, it was
that's what takes time.
Takes a lot of time.
Oh, man.
Of course, this is a show, so it's been cut right up.
Yeah.
They cut out the 2 or 3 weeks you did reviewing stuff.
Right. They got to go right to, here's the analysis of the evidence, but that's what takes
absolutely
the time.
Ghost Hunters, it also displays a lot of intergroup dynamics that we are none too familiar with here. That's what's really is that personally, I'll be brutally honest, I think Jason's a little harsh sometimes. that's him. That's cool. That's totally cool. That's the way he does things, and I respect that because I happen to have the same attitude he has about a lot of things.
Well,
I know when I'm working with people,
but you
can't do that.
Well, one of the interesting things, though, you've got to remember, he's been doing it for like 14 years.
Yeah, he's been around.
He's been around for 14 years.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what happens is he probably learned over time. If you say, you didn't do it this time, but next time I want it done. Mm. If you take it easy, maybe certain people wouldn't take that as
you need to do this.
So so he might he knows his group a lot better
and he knows the approach a lot better too.
Look, dude, I need this done.
Yeah,
and I need it done every time.
So there
may be a chances when you have to do that.
Yeah, but
our group it's not like that.
Unless I'm doing it.
Well, fine.
a lot of the evidence at home, a lot of the evidence, they do the exact same things we do.
Yeah.
They just do it with a lot more money.
Right, yeah.
But they're collecting EVPs, they're taking photos, they're using Gauss meters, they're using
streaming network cameras.
The one thing they do have, and this would be an excellent tool to have, is if you are actually a plumber. You would know, because a lot of times, houses settle, pipes clink, they just do this kind of stuff. And if you're not a plumber, you're not going to know that, or you're not going to pay attention to that either. So those guys have an extra strength there, I think, by both working for RR.
Yeah, they plugged that place on the show.
That's really a good tool to have, if you ask me, because, one of the things Jason said was like 80% of the things I come in contact with, I can explain.
Right.
I can explain. It's the 20% that's mystifying, but the other 80%, I can usually go into a house and say, this house is like 70 years old. It's settling. I can see the marks down here on the mortar right here. It's cracking. It's because it's settling. You're going to hear sounds when it does that. So that's not to hit home, because that's exactly what we try to do. We sit there and, we were just evaluating this EVP last night, and we hear something weird. Yeah, I came back to the garage, and you're like, hey, I got two things for you to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to them, and I'm like, the first thing that goes through my head is, what could this actually be? It isn't, I hope this is a ghost.
And that's quite a mindset, because if you said, ooh, I hope this is a ghost.
In the back of my mind, I really would like it to be something that I can't explain. But you have to discipline yourself to go, let's eliminate anything, everything that may be within this plane of reality.
Yeah.
As in, the sounds, for example, I don't want to play it right now because we want to evaluate before we start putting it out, going public with this stuff. But there's one thing we hear where it sounds like an auctioneer or something in the background. And that
we were in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, and it was myself sitting by this rock pile.
Yeah, had I heard anything, I'd have been like, dude, what was that?
Is there an auction going on around here or something? Let's go buy something cool, But there was
Dubai,
you're sitting there.
Dubai.
Yeah.
Right here for you.
Lumber. But, these things kind of come out in the background, and we're like, okay, what is... I wasn't drinking. These things came out in the background. It's something we've isolated already. because we did this new approach, which was really good.
It worked out really well.
And we have it. So it's going to come home at midnight, and Doug's going to have it. We're just going to mess around with it and play with it, and then we'll actually, if you think it's
something good. We also have to, like, copy all this stuff and send it to Rob.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Rob wants that, plus he wants all the stuff from Gettysburg, which I completely forgot that he wanted the CDs, or else I would have brought him the three CDs.
Yeah, I'm kidding, yeah.
You know, because our Gettysburg evidence, just the stuff that I had, because I didn't have Bonnie's stuff, and I didn't have Will's, the tape recorder with the real tape in it, the analog tape recorder.
Well, we fed two of those up when we were in Logan.
Right. Well, I had those, but I didn't have all his tapes.
Plus the actual, as I was doing that, the laptop said, you know what, man? I don't have any more room. These are huge files we're talking.
I'm really done with those.
I'm really done with this. I think, get popping a messed up bone. Stop it. No more. Okay, stop it. So I had to stop.
But yeah, so I didn't have all your analog stuff, but... What? The cord?
Which cord?
Okay. And what'll happen is that those would be even more room, but the stuff that I just had on the laptop, just what was loaded, was three CDs worth.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just that, like, disc two and disc three are a little bit less than full, but it's still, you could not fit...
You're still getting almost 2,000. You're still getting about 2,000 megs of information, just about.
Well, no, because CD is 660 megs. Oh yeah, oh, just under two. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Wizard.
Hey, I'm
tired, man. I'm on the road.
Give me my phone. I can calculate this out. Yeah. I don't do any math anymore.
No, that's the stuff we collected just on our vacation.
That was just over that week.
That's why last night, you know, we only ran about maybe a little under 2 hours of audio, and I wanted to take it easy on that. I mean, we were all pretty burnt out, and it was cold out and all this stuff, but I got, you know, when it got to that point, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to have too much to try to go through. I know, you know, collect as much as you can. I agree with that. But there comes a time where it's like, okay, it's time to go to bed.
Well, I have to say the most intriguing stuff I heard came actually off of Bob's recorder.
Yes. Yeah.
And which was just absolutely insane stuff. And hopefully he'll be there at W Paranormal to play it tonight. Of course, it might be too early. They may still be dumping into their
computers. We'll have to see. I mean, Bob did talk about getting that loaded up as soon as possible.
Yeah, so I'd say, you know, after Ghostly Talk, listen to W Paranormal and see if they got it done. I don't know. And if not, listen to it next week.
Yeah.
Because they'll get it done. It's just a matter of, you know, when are they going to put it in their computer so that they'll be able to do it.
Yeah.
And getting all, you know, all the people together and all the people sitting there with the programs running, you know, and to analyze it. And that's what takes time.
Oh, yeah.
But hopefully they'll get that done soon, because that was really intriguing.
Was really weird.
Because they were, it seemed like they were almost talking to the EMF detector.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And stuff like that. So that, I mean, that's so intriguing. And then there's even more stuff. I mean,
let's not kill their thunder, though.
Oh, I know, but I do want to promo it.
Oh, yeah.
If you are into EVP, and remember, I just heard this on the little tinny speaker that comes on on a little recorder.
It was clean,
but it was really sweet. It was really intriguing. And when they get this stuff done, yeah, you're gonna want to hear it. So listen to W Paranormal, because they're gonna be showing this, or they're gonna be going over that stuff. You guys, we do run live, of course, on Pioneer Radio, and their website is pioneer.rollo.net. Mm-hmm. Our own website is, of course, www.ghostlytalk.com.
Yeah.
Very, very busy website. As of late, I have a sneaking suspicion it has to do with the time of year.
Mm-hmm. This is our time to howl, man.
This is the cool time.
This is the time of year for us to put our fists up and go, yeah, man, this is, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
This is all right. You know, Santa has his month and we have ours, right?
Yeah, we've got ours, and ours is October. We love October. We love October so much that this month we are talking to ghost hunting groups, members of ghost hunting groups. It's Ghost Hunter or Ghost Hunting Month on Ghostly Talk. We talked last week with Indiana Ghost Trekkers. This week coming up, of course, we're going to have the fellow from Missouri.
Yeah.
Who made a DVD.
Yeah.
And sent it to us.
And you don't have
just
a thing.
Totally out of the blue.
And Will got up.
Yeah, Will got up and left me. But no,
it's Jerry. Jerry from the Missouri. Yes, Jerry. Isn't it Jerry? Oh, God.
Why can't, you know, and I just typed it in, too. I just typed it in.
Did you just type it in?
I didn't, yeah.
I'm totally blanking, too.
It's my own fault.
No, it's road fatigue, all right?
It is.
It's road fatigue.
It's road fatigue. I'm not remembering a thing like I wanted to say.
Road fatigue.
Ever.
Road fatigue.
You guys slept.
Big thing, though. Big point, though. Like I said, Ghost Hunters is a great show.
Well, I know last week was Sean Burris, because I got to talk to him last week. But I'm calling up ghostlytalk.com right now. Because I also...
You call up Ghostly Talk. I'm going to make a point. Right?
You make a point.
Like I said, Ghost Hunters is a great show. We really enjoy it, and we're endorsing it. We're behind them 100% too.
Terry,
yeah. Terry what?
Terry Gamble. And I just typed it in yesterday.
So
I'm not even kidding. Just yet, you know the big red or the red box.
We were just talking about it before we left
red,
home.
The red highlighted box, and then under it is the black box with white writing on in the middle of the homepage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just updated it yesterday. And said, what are you doing on, you know, Sunday from 7 till 9 p.m.,
yeah.
right? And then I typed in a little bit about what Terry did and how he sent, you know, made the DVD and sent it out. And so I just typed it
but
in.
But then you were also up until 3 o'clock in the morning running through the woods.
Yes, that is true.
Freezing to go.
So I apologize to you. I'm so excited to talk to you.
He says it's a great DVD. From the Missouri Ghost Hunters, just kind of displaying some of the evidence they've put down, and he converted it to a DVD for us to watch, which was really great.
I thought it was the coolest thing on the planet.
It was awesome.
You pop in the DVD and you just sit back and
watch it. It was a ball, yeah.
Of course, it makes you want to run out and go ghost hunting right away, but,
of course.
You know.
But, I mean, it's going to be really interesting to talk about some of the experiences they've had and maybe some of the new evidence they might have. I'm hoping he's going to be like, yeah, we got some audio to listen to. I'm going to email it over to you right now. I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, that's tough with us. We're dealing with limited, but
no,
sure.
But, yeah. Like I said, though, the last point of Ghost Hunters before we take a break here is I don't want new people that are getting into this practice or this science or this art form to think that what those guys are doing on sci-fi is the way it needs to be done.
Well, I mean, the format I thought was absolutely ideal. It was ideal. They covered all the things. But, yeah, you do not have to have 2, 3, 4 brand-new Dell laptops. You do not have to have, networked, wireless network video cameras. You don't need that stuff.
Like Nike tennis shoes, and I hate to pump Nike on here. But just because you have Nike tennis shoes on, it's not going to make you a better basketball player.
Right.
It's the same correlation
right
there.
Just because you have all of that equipment doesn't mean you're going to catch something every
time. Yeah, right,
and
they may not.
It is a matter is a matter of luck.
It really is a matter of luck. Ghost hunting, you have to be in the right place at the right time.
Exactly.
And so, it's 35-millimeter camera. Perhaps a digital camera.
Yeah.
Right?
They're reasonably priced now.
One of the $99 ones,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Digital camera, maybe a little tape recorder if you're into EVPs.
Recorder if you want, yeah.
$66 for my little MP3 recorder.
Which is expandable.
So, I mean, you're not talking a lot of money. You don't need huge gobs of equipment.
I mean, the stuff that we got from Indiana, we keep bringing it up, because it's so fantastic. That was done on the same type MP3
recorder. It was $129 MP3 recorder from Best Buy.
Yeah, which is that's a little bit of money. It really isn't anything extravagant. NASA didn't build it. It's a regular little MP3 recorder. It's
awesome.
And these fantastic pieces of audio came out there that we can't explain.
Right.
So that's the point. Enjoy the show because we enjoy it. I enjoy it. I'm going to probably go home and watch it again tonight. It's just a lot of fun to watch. It's good to see somebody's finally recognizing this stuff.
Right.
It's great to see this.
And I'm glad it was
fun.
Taps that got to do it.
Taps, they're fantastic.
Because they are the group. Well, they've been around for a long time. And they have been the tops. And they are just incredible stuff, people, and incredible stuff on their website.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad it's them going around doing it. Plus, you know, look at the area of the country they're in. New England.
Yeah.
Dang. You know, talk about the oldest part of the country. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So, yeah.
Going to be ghosts.
But just the young people that are getting into this, because we know a lot of very young people that are getting into this that have a real keen interest in this kind of stuff. Don't go running to mom and dad going, Mom, I need 4 new Dell laptops. It's going to cost only about $18,000, no big deal. And I need
a minivan.
No.
Right.
Just use the car you have. That's the one good thing about ghost hunting is you don't have to have a ton of equipment like that. Just throw in your trunk, you're on your way.
Good. But don't lease cars.
Yeah, don't lease cars. Take it from Scott L on that one. You don't lease cars.
Don't lease cars. Buy your car.
And buy an SUV, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be driving all the time.
Yeah, if you...
No, don't buy an SUV unless you want to be driving before all the time.
Oh, I got a great hint, you guys. Get a little teeny Escort. Yeah, I guess
call it the death squirt.
You call it the death squirt to put that extra bit of fear into people.
Yeah, so people don't want to even sit in it, much less ride.
Nobody even wants to go near it, right? They want to take pictures of it, but they don't want to go near it. And then nobody will ever ride with you again.
Exactly.
Okay, here's the thing. Befriend someone with an SUV.
Because Scott L. goes, he goes, well, dude, you know, we're going to go Friday. We're going to go Friday night, and who's going to drive? And I said, oh, I can drive, no problem. And he goes, Tavani?
You weren't prepared to drive that thing all the way up to Delton.
I would have, and
people,
I know.
People that don't know where Delton is as opposed to where the Haunted Basement Studios are, it's about a good 2.5 hours if you drive the speed limit.
Right.
Of course, we didn't do that. So we got to do that quickly. But it's about a good 2.5-3 hours if you drive the speed limit. So, I mean, it's a bit of a drive, and I'm like, we're going to drive in the Death Squirt. Now, mind you, we got to keep this in mind, but this was like 2 years ago. We did take the Death Squirt down the Mansfield, and it rode like a champ.
It does.
The car was, I mean, it was a great drive down there and a great drive back.
And it does do that.
Yeah, so, I mean, this car won't die.
I guarantee it'll get you there.
Yeah.
Coming back, I don't know, but I know it'll get you to wherever you want to go.
But this is the main thing that you have to think about. Had you taken the Death Squirt, more than likely it would have been Scott and I in the back seat. Who do you think was getting out of that car alive?
Only one of you.
Right.
Yeah.
Love you.
So
why
yeah,
we go to break?
It would have been tragic. But I do have to say, the
Bonnie got these cool cuffs.
We do.
You have cool to put these on the website and show people our cool cuffs.
Oh man, that rocks! I like
at
that.
The Halloween party, you can take pictures.
You okay. Guys, I also have to say that Ghostly Talk is replayed on fine stations such as Pioneer itself because they have a replay schedule. Pioneer.rollo.net. Take pictures off the cuff.
No.
And then, but also the stations like Radio New York International, Moist FM, the KSSX folks,
mm-hmm.
and of course All Talk Radio,
mm-hmm.
and others that I probably don't even remember or know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just want to implore people to listen to online internet broadcasts, okay?
We have a call coming in.
Oh, I wonder if it's Terry.
It probably is Terry.
All right, let's take a break.
Okay, let's take a break.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back with Ghost Month on Ghostly Talk.
Journalistic responsibility.
What do you mean journalistic responsibility? I talk about aliens for crying out loud.
Yeah. Well, what do you think aliens are?
Christ talking about this kind of stuff.
Aliens'
responsibility is usually holding the truth back. I'm trying to bring it back out to people, let them see these things.
There you go.
I think we got one vote on your side, Clyde.
What are you talking about?
Well, you do. A lot of people are on my side, I think.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Just when you thought it was safe to get drunk, then say hi to your friends.
Drunken Dial.
Just when you thought it was safe, get that late night phone call.
Drunken Dial.
Oh.
There's a kangaroo shaped plastic in my sleep.
Oh.
www.drunkendial.com. Good night, dummy.
Oh,
Okie dokie.
This is, of course, Ghost Hunting Month on Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
And, of course, Will's manning the boards. He's in the chat rooms. If you're not in the chat rooms, go to pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O.net.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the text chat link and on the little control gizmo thingy, and get in the chat rooms and visit with everybody. They're all laughing at us. So
why are we getting laughed at?
Well, no, they always do. So it's just something that happens.
Nobody ever told me about this. I didn't get no memo.
You're not in the chat rooms.
No, I'm over here working it.
Yeah, yeah, you're working
always
it.
Always laugh at you.
Why do I get laughed at?
No, laughing at all of us.
This is a serious thing we're talking about here, okay?
And they do. They also...
I'm a professional, all right? Listen here. No, wait a minute.
They also talk seriously.
Uh-huh, yeah.
They talk seriously.
I'll see you guys in the chat room when I get home tonight. Yeah. All right, we're going to have a little discussion about it.
All right. And so, yeah, so the text chat link at pioneer.rolo.net. Or, of course, if you're a member of ghostlytalk.com, you can go there and click on the little IRC Java applet chat, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's there as well.
We have a special promotion this month also with Ghostly Talk. If you join up, it's free. Some people don't know that. So, and you know, you get, you know, here's the bonus. This is the bonus you get.
Yeah.
You get to download all the archives on the site as much as you want from like the last 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Forget this. Free.
Oh my God.
Free.
Have you gone insane?
We're giving them away. This is crazy, Scott L. We're giving them away. We're moving it out.
Super ultra bonus plan.
What's that?
They get to read your freaking journal.
Oh, but yeah.
The cream de la cream
has opened up his journal.
Yes, I hope my
to
journal.
To the public.
To the public.
Oh my God.
Pure evil in text form. So,
it's always
special promotion. Have your friends doing up right away. This is crazy, Scott L. Where we're going insane. That was horrendous.
I thought it was awesome.
I just got this burst. I think
you guys.
This is what we call a second wind.
Yeah, you got it.
I'm fired back up now.
You got it. You got it going on.
Yeah.
And this is the time of month to do it, too, because we are really excited to have ghost hunting groups all month.
Oh, yeah.
On Ghostly Talk. Of course, I did want to, like, before the break, I wanted to mention we are on other stations. We're also on Pioneer.
Yeah.
But listen to online radio. Not just Ghostly Talk, okay? I want people to listen.
That's
going
to be isolated. Do you realize that?
I want
people. That's no online radio.
I'm telling you, it's the new thing.
Internet radio is it's here. It's here. We've been waiting for it. We've been working our butts off, and we're finally starting to see some fruits of our labors on this. It's great.
But,
it's great.
We've got W Paranormal, of course, Dave the Hypnotist on Pioneer. We've got Magic Mind on Pioneer. There's other stuff on all the other channels. Get out there. Click on them.
Listen to them.
Because that's
most of the time they're free.
That's what they're all doing. That's what people do it for. There's the new show coming up.
Ghost Files?
The Ghost
Files. Yeah, our buddy Devin.
Ghost Files?
Yep.
Yeah?
Oh
my gosh, his logo.
Oh,
I can't
that's
wait.
Sweet.
I mean, it's just awesome. I mean, this
we're behind it 100%.
It's happening now.
Yeah.
Get involved. Tell your friends, tell your family.
There's tons of information out there. I mean, and these are from different people, different approaches, different ideas. And sometimes, like, you know, we say this all the time, it's hard for us to differentiate all this stuff because we do this every single week now. And we're getting all these different ideas, but we find it so much fun, too.
Right.
Because we're getting all these different ideas, and we've actually opened our minds up, Nancy. Our minds up to do this kind of stuff, which can be confusing, it can be tough, but it's a discipline, and you learn a lot more that way, too.
Mm-hmm. And with one single exception, absolutely none of us are in competition with each other.
Exactly.
We are here doing this because we love to do it. So I want you to go and click on things, listen to things, get involved, get in touch, just have a blast, because that's what we're all doing it for.
Yeah.
And... all of our stuff, anyway, is free.
It's free.
This month.
Well, this month.
No, it's free for
all
guys.
It's free all the time.
It's under the open content license.
Which means you can pretty much do anything you want with it. Just don't sell it. Please don't sell it.
Yeah, you can try. But
you can try.
I don't
think we can
buy it. I don't know who's buying it. Yeah.
There's this site out there called Singing Fish that you told me about last week.
Oh, yeah. That
Singingfish.com, which is sweet. I love this site. I'm in love with this site. And you were like, yeah, I went to Singing Fish, and I'm like, what the hell is that? And you're like, Singingfish.com is great. It's an MP3 search.
Yeah.
So I did that. I did what you did last weekend or whatever. I just typed in Ghostly Talk for a giggle. My God. It's like pages and pages of archives. People have like linked to their site or whatever. Or, you know, it's off our site, of course. But it's like all over here. And people are actually, they're downloading it and doing all kinds of fun stuff. So that's cool.
Do it. Get involved. on my audio. It is happening. Yeah. You guys, speaking of October, of course, and everything free, well, it gets better. It gets better. Last week, we introduced you guys to the Indiana Ghost Trackers.
Yeah.
And Sean Burris was kind enough to come on and explain what they do and get some excitement going about ghost hunting. And, of course, that was before the premiere of Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi.
Yeah.
And before they started shipping Ghost Magazine.
Yeah.
So if you don't have your copy of Ghost Magazine, ghostmag.com. I'm not involved. I don't get any money for it. But I'm telling you,
yeah,
do it. Because Melody and the gang are just awesome.
Yeah.
this week,
yeah,
we get to talk to a fellow, Terry Gamble.
Yep.
From Ghosts and Haunts in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And the website is www.missourighosts.net.
Mm-hmm.
And he did something really, really spectacular, something I cannot believe more people are doing. And maybe they are. Maybe yeah. I just don't know.
Maybe they just don't want to send stuff to us.
Right. we don't want free stuff, you know. But, I want free stuff. I like getting some free stuff. But anyway, Terry went and put together, he's been ghost hunting a long time, put together his evidence in DVD format on a DVD.
Yeah.
And send it to us. Yeah. Out of the blue.
We got this package.
We got a package.
Check it for anthrax.
Okay, cool. All
right, safe. All right, let's open it up.
We put it through the metal detector.
Yeah, we have actual. We actually bought with our earnings from Ghostly Talk. We bought an X-ray machine. Yeah,
and cool. Fluffy, the bomb sniffing dog.
Yeah,
helped out.
Fluffy. Actually, what they do is make me open it.
Oh man, you give away all our secrets. And then,
hey Bonnie, can you open this, please?
Thanks.
And
all right, she's still standing there.
Pop it in the DVD player. Right? And it's this amazing thing that just absolutely made me want to go out ghost hunting. So that's why we're going to talk tonight to Terry Gamble of Ghosts and Haunts in Missouri. And welcome, Terry, to Ghostly Talk.
Yeah, how's it going? I got a quick question for you. Now that membership is free, do I get my $50 back?
You actually paid $50?
Oh, man.
Man. You were joking that week.
That's my side job.
Yeah, that was... Oh,
okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, we'll talk to you later, buddy.
You changed the registration process without telling... Okay.
For only $50, you can download all the archives. All right, Terry, check's in the mail. Don't worry.
Thanks, Terry. So tell us about Ghosts and Haunts in Missouri, about the website, about the DVD. Tell us about everything, because we want to talk with you.
We're a Missouri ghost hunting group based out of St. Louis. We've been investigating for a number of years, collecting footage. What's been different in recent years is that with the Internet, we've been able to communicate with other ghost groups. As a matter of fact, there are several new ghost groups setting up because they use our website to meet other ghost hunters in their area.
Great.
And I also have a database of all the haunted locations that are in public areas, and people use that as research centers so that they can go read stories about what people have been experiencing. I've got interactive maps so people can find all the places to go out and do their own investigating.
Okay. That's fascinating because we usually use for our resources, of course. We use, of course, I mean, the Shadowlands, because everybody does. And then we also have Ghost Zoo here.
Yeah.
Although they changed that. Isn't that called something else now?
Oh, it's still
GhostZoo.com?
Yeah.
So GhostZoo, she's got interactive maps and stuff like that, which is pretty cool. So you've got, do you do the whole, is that the Missouri, you know, anywhere in Missouri, or is that nationwide?
No, it's strictly in Missouri. Mm-hmm. At first I thought I would be doing multiple states. I started another satellite page for Tennessee, but I eventually realized that the way I keep adding materials and working on the website, that there'd be no way that I could accommodate more states because I'm always adding more information to the website. It's almost like out of hand as it is. So I realize I've bitten off more than I could chew trying to keep up with that.
That's what we all find ourselves doing, I think.
I've seen it before.
It happens to everybody. One thing an interesting point you made already is that, you know, you found that, you know, you guys have actually been at this for a number of years, and that, you know, you got into the whole Internet thing, which everybody's into now, and you found that more people are getting into this, or they're actually using your site to meet other people to go out and do research and whatnot. And, I mean, just a comment on that, that's really how I, you know, how Ghostly Talk was born.
Yeah,
basically.
Exactly.
Doug and myself, we met in a chat room.
And there are people in cities like Joplin who've grown ghost hunting groups, and what's happened is I've been able to link them with people who are like-minded who want to do some research, so I've been able to get them organized and help them with picking out equipment. That's another big thing. A lot of people buy the wrong equipment, and they wind up getting stuck with stuff that doesn't really work too well.
Well, that's what we were talking about in the first half an hour of the show. I mean, we were talking about, I mean, have you seen the new show Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi yet?
Yes, I did.
And, well, okay, well, what basically the point was is that you don't need to have, you know, thousands of dollars worth of equipment all the time to go out and do this sort of thing.
No, it takes just a modest budget. As a matter of fact, some of the budget equipment is actually better, particularly like the camcorders.
Oh, really?
Yes, but a lot of people don't realize what's been going on in the camcorder industry. The quality on a lot of the products has been going downhill fast.
Really?
Yes. If you look at the specs on the older style analog high 8 camcorders, you'll see that they've got the quarter inch CCD instead of the newer cameras 1/6 inch CCD. What it means is a lot less light passes through the aperture, so your images are far darker. What they do is if you look at the specs, they'll say zero lux, but that's not the number you should look for when you buy a camera for ghost hunting. What you want to look for is the lux rating with the night shot turned off, because that tells you what your image quality is going to look like when it's turned on. We've had some ghost hunters who've had, you know, nice digital cameras.
Uh-huh.
They look great in the daytime, but the thing is the optics in them are really lousy for night work because the apertures are so small, because they've been cutting the budget. Some of them are like a 7 lux rating, which is really awful. So these budget camcorders with high 8 that get 2-hour recording times will blow away these much more expensive digital ones that only record for half an hour.
Okay. Well, you did mention that a lot of these ones, the images come out a lot darker. As far as from a research standpoint, if you're trying to film something that's, you know, anomalous, like let's say an orb, for example, and the thing I look for in orbs nowadays, for, you know, from my standpoint, is not these blotchy little things that seem that they can show up in schools. We see them, a school of orbs in a picture.
Dust bunnies.
Yeah, dust bunnies. I like to look for the things that are very circular, perfectly circular, and very, very bright, very solid-like. And a lot, I mean, I've seen things that are very transparent, but, I mean, I'm looking for things that are very bright and perfectly circular. Now, if you have a darker camera, if something is very bright, wouldn't that maybe make that stick out just a little bit more, where it'd be easier to see, where you might not catch it if you have a camera with a light that would take in more light, for example, as opposed to one that's a little bit darker?
With still cameras, it's really easy to tell false orbs from the authentic.
Yeah.
False orbs are transparent. They're also pale. And they're also two-dimensional. They're very flat-looking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas a real authentic orb is self-illuminating. It's generating its own light.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very easy to tell the difference between dust or rain droplets. A lot of people send me photographs, and I have to send them back an email saying, you know, sorry, but what you've just, you know, done is caught dust.
Yeah, congratulations. You have dust on film.
Most of the photographs are not authentic, but they are, people are mostly catching are dust and rain.
They do have one good purpose, they're educational at that. I mean, you can use those as examples, though. That's what we've done, where we're going, okay, look, this is a great photo, what you've shot here, but this is not what we're looking for. We're looking for something that, like you just said, emits its own light, has its own light source. The dust you're talking about, you're going to see, it's very two-dimensional, like you said, and the light that you're getting on that, whatever's showing up, is basically the flash is illuminating that. That's it. You're looking for something that's bright on its own.
Generates its own light.
Exactly, exactly. But what I was saying was the cameras themselves, it seems, if it is a darker camera, that, I mean, and let's just say, for example, case scenario, where this particular orb is emitting its own light. Now, we can't control that, obviously. The camera is a little bit darker. I mean, well, the whole shot would be darker, really. I mean,
it may be washed out in the dark.
It may be washed out.
That's why you need an aperture.
Okay.
An aperture that's going to be as big as possible.
I'm a moron when it comes to video, anyway. That's why I'm asking.
Quarter inch is the old one, and what, 1/6?
1/6 inch are they're doing in a lot of the new cameras.
Mm.
You have to shop really carefully when you're looking for equipment, because you have to look deep in the specs to find how the camera will really do for working at night. It's like mine is rated without the night shot at 1 lux, but a lot of the digital cameras nowadays are as bad as 7.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a world of difference between a camera at 1 lux and 7 lux.
Okay, all right.
It's a big difference. And particularly even when you're using your extending night range infrared, I use a Sony model that attaches to the camera. I get a far more benefit because the optics are more sensitive to low light than someone who has a camera with, say, 7 lux sensitivity. Their range just isn't extended nearly as dramatically.
Okay. Yeah, I know that's a real important thing, too. We don't really talk about it too much on this show, is that when you are, you know, going out looking for equipment, it is, well, like anything. If you're going to buy a stereo, you just don't want to go out and buy the first thing you see. You may want to do a little research on it, especially with something like, which, you know, if you're going to go out ghost hunting, for example, or try to do some type of spirit photography, you do want to do some research on your equipment. It's really important. I mean, I'm sure, and I've done this 1,000 times already, I just go online.
Oh, yeah.
And I go, and I mean, the thing that's great about appliances and equipment like this is there are these little sites that float around the net that you just have to go to Google, search it out. For whatever camera, you may have a model number you want to check out. And there are sites out there that actually have people that have bought them already, and they rate them for you and kind of tell you what they think about them. And you can actually get an overall rating, separate comments where people are like, this, you know, does this when you do this or does this when you do that. You can actually get a little more insight like that. And also you can get specs usually right off the website of the manufacturers, too.
That's the best source to get the actual numbers. You have to get around. They try and post the zero lux numbers, which you have to do is dig really deep into the numbers to find out what it is without the night shot turned on.
Well, okay. That I believe.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, that's going to be something that not many people are looking for.
No.
But in our line of work...
Also, a way the manufacturers get to cut their costs, because if they say zero lux, they don't have to worry about making the camera perform well in poor light.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Well, most people, we have to keep in mind also is that the majority of the population that buy cameras, they tend to use them when they go on vacation in the daylight and stuff like that. It would be interesting to see if there's somebody out there that is trying to, like, push something through a manufacturer to go, okay, look, let's make a camera that's designed for ghost hunting. You know, they can emit more light, has these features that you're talking about, Terry. I never really heard it. I mean, you're not... I would love to see that personally. Sony's releasing a new camera this month for ghost hunters.
Their system makes some excellent stuff that's not conventional. It's thermal, but it's priced out of the range of the average ghost hunter.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's
the $7,000 models and stuff.
Yeah, and that's the point with it, though, is, you know, our thing we've always preached on here is that this can be a cheap hobby. You don't have to go out and buy the most expensive equipment to do this sort of thing. You can actually go out, you know, like you said, a modest budget can get you going on something like this to get you out in the field and start doing some work.
Yeah, like voice recorders, even, you know, inexpensive digital models work just fine. A lot of people have a misconception that you should use lower quality settings. It's not true. I think the mechanics of how the voices are recorded, people don't really understand what's going on. I don't think that what you're hearing is an actual voice being spoken. I think is happening is whatever it is, it's manipulating background sounds to produce the voices that you hear.
Really?
That's why when you hear background sounds, mm-hmm. what it's doing is I think it's manipulating sounds in the background to actually produce the voices.
And that's why. Remember when Scott Kay, his recorder, was there and we were in... the Boone Hutchison Cemetery, and I was scratching the earth at the beginning of that.
Well, yeah.
That first one I said, some people say you have to make white noise in order to, and I was scratching the earth.
Mm-hmm. That is right. I've had one man who took this fantastic EVP. He was walking through some leaves and kicking them all up. They were dry leaves, and it makes a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm.
He was in a German cemetery. This voice, he has to send it to someone who can speak German because it's clearly, it's a very powerful man's voice, but it's not English. And I think what's happened is that by kicking up the leaves, it provided the background noise to produce this voice. The voice is nothing like the sound of the leaves, but what I think was going on is that produced the energy for it to manipulate, to turn into a sound that can be heard.
Okay. Well, and on that basis, you can pretty much use any recorder. I mean, not any recorder, but I mean, on that basis...
Have a better quality setting. Use the better quality setting.
Well, yeah, I know, like with my Olympus, for example, it has 3 quality settings on it, which I haven't seen too many recorders that actually give you that flexibility. And it also has a lecture feature on it, too, where it can go... It's more or less sensitive to ultra-sensitive. This particular recorder gives me a lot more flexibility like that. I have the low quality, standard quality, and high quality settings. The problem with that, obviously, is if you go low quality on my recorder, you get an hour and a half with low quality. quality. Standard quality is the 33 minutes and 29 seconds that we have.
Right.
And the high quality is only like a solid 20 minutes of recording time you have. And the lecture will not, the lecture feature, which is like the real high sensitivity, that don't really make any difference. FTT filter that's installed into the recorder.
Oh, FFT. Fast Fourier Transform.
Yeah, here you go. FFT filter that's in the recorder where it just kind of gives it that extra bit of teeth it needs to pick up more sound. So, I haven't seen too many recorders like mine where it does give you that kind of flexibility. Your MP3 recorder don't really have...
It has no settings whatsoever.
What you hear is what you get.
You're either recording or not.
Yeah.
It's one or the other.
Yeah. So you basically suggest, though, to put it... I mean, if you have those type of settings where you can kick it up to like a real high quality recording, you suggest to do that?
Best quality your equipment will allow. Some of the best voices I've heard have been on reel-to-reel tape recorders.
Ooh.
And that's the highest quality you can get.
You find a half-inch reel-to-reel or two-inch?
Half-inch reel-to-reel.
Yeah, two-inch you're talking about.
Yeah, two-inch is like studio.
Two-inch is studio. It's about $150 for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So a lot of money.
Half-inch is more than enough bandwidth. It gives you the bandwidth needed
to
be able to record.
Because you can do a lot of it with those pieces of equipment. They always need to be cleaned. And that's why everyone got away from them, is because it's very high maintenance.
Well, yeah, and you're talking tape. We're talking about an analog signal. I mean, do you think there's a difference between analog signals and digital signals as far as recording voice or EVP goes?
Well, because what it's doing is it's recording the modified background sounds, and the means, whether it's analog or digital, doesn't seem to make any difference.
Okay, all right. So, I mean, there's arguments back and forth on that, obviously. It's a little more intensive than photography.
I've had both cassette and digital, and they both work.
Okay.
So even I've caught EVPs on the camcorder with its, analog tracks, and it doesn't seem to make much difference whether the source is digital or analog. The only important thing is that there be some sort of background noise, some white noise to be modified so that it can manipulate it to produce the sounds that it needs to.
Okay, so next time we go out in the woods, I'm going to bring like an old beat-up TV set. And just run a cord all the way out there and just put static behind me and give it the back. That may be an idea.
Well, you can buy background generators.
I've heard about it.
White noise generators.
You can actually buy, buy a CD or something like that? Or is it like a CD?
It's this little machine with a speaker. And
really?
You get it at Radio Shack.
I wonder if you took the white noise generator and put it next. Next to your recorder?
That's what Constantino says to do.
Really?
Yeah.
It's an interesting idea.
So
we might have to try that sometime.
Give it a try.
But basically, what you're saying, Terry, is the digital and analog, it really don't make much of a difference because of as far as the environment you're talking about, the way you think that it goes down, so to say.
The environment, that's what counts. It's like I was in the Lehman house, and I was making a ruckus. I was in the home myself. The owner had gone out to do errands because they were going out to a party that evening. We had the whole place to ourselves. It was absolutely ideal conditions for testing. When I was in there, I was banging my camera around, and you can hear the lens cap banging against the camera as I'm moving it on a tripod, and that's when you can hear this woman's voice moaning. And this is on one of the upper floors in a room. There are no women in the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what happened is that all the noise that I was making provided the background for it to manipulate to produce a very clear woman's voice.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's interesting, though, is do you remember, Scott L., do you remember that EVP from Prospect Place?
Oh, the one with the laughing.
It sounded like walking and then laughing.
Well, yeah, it's just you hear the recorder. It's an obviously it's a tape recorder.
Yeah,
because you could actually, and that's amazing.
Yeah, you can actually hear
the reels bouncing. As it's rolling, which means they may have not even used an external mic on that. It may have just been a recorder they set down.
Right.
Isn't that prospectplace.com? Is that the website?
It's either that or .org.
Type in prospectplace in Google. It'll take you right there. There's an actual EVP on that site, which, it's a very, I hate to use this word again, it's a very creepy EVP. Terry, you might want to check this out also. It's an EVP recording where it's about maybe 30 seconds of a clip, and you hear clear footsteps being made. I mean, somebody's walking up and down. It sounds like stairs, possibly. It seems to get louder after a few seconds.
Right.
And then you hear this laughing. It's a clear laughing sound. And don't sound like a happy laugh either. It's a creepy, evil,
right.
sinister laugh.
And we talked to the lady who took that recording,
yeah.
who made that recording, and she had said that they went into the center of the kitchen, I believe,
yeah.
set it on the table, uh-huh. and then they all cleared out.
Yeah.
They went outside. So
there was no noise at all.
Only the tape recorder was generating its own, you know, tape noise.
What if that's enough, though? What if that's enough?
In this case, it must have been.
See, traditionally, from what I've learned, it's not a big no-no, but it's something you want to get away from, is that if you have a cassette recorder, like a mini cassette recorder, for example, you want to get an external mic to get away from that tape bounce, the real bounce. But maybe, Terry's idea says here, that might be enough background noise provided to let these things do what they need to do and give you the sounds that you're looking for. So
it very well could be.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Terry?
I actually think you should use the external mic and keep it away from the unit, because what you can do is you may be picking up interference, and that could sort of negate what you're trying to do because it's so close.
Well, if you stick that mic next to this, I mean, most of those little mini recorders have a little speaker on them already, and if you put that mic in that speaker, you can get some feedback, too.
Yes, and what's happening is those little cassettes can shift and jitter back and forth in their compartment.
Yeah.
And that could generate some unintended noise.
Well, that's what we were talking about. We've always learned too, like yourself, that you don't want to use just a straight up tape recorder with no mic on it. You want to use the external mic because you don't want to get that tape bounce sound.
So the kind of noise you want is something you can easily identify when you're doing the reviewing.
Okay.
And tell what it is. If you're not familiar with what the cassette sounds like, jittering back and forth in the compartment,
okay. May
not know to rule out the sound that it's generating, whereas if you're walking through leaves, you know that you're walking through leaves, and it's easy to tell, you know, what is and isn't.
Well, one thing I would think about, too, we were just out last night, for example, and we were running audio for about a good 2 hours, and we picked about 4 things out that we just don't understand what they are, we don't know what they are yet, and, of course, we have ideas of what they could be. And those arguments are pretty strong compared to it being an anomalous piece of audio. So what I was thinking is if you need to generate some background noise, you go buy this little static machine or whatever they have, Radio Shack. Would you? And like I said a second ago, would you put that? Well, Constantino says you should put that static generator next to the recorder itself, and then you're close to the recorder if you want to like talk a little bit or whatever or ask questions or whatnot. And what that static will do is kind of drown out any background noise. Because the thing I'm having a problem with the stuff we collected last night is that we don't think what we heard, what we've heard so far, is people. The first thing I thought was maybe there's some people in the background that were yelling a little bit, and maybe we were talking or whatnot, and the recorder just picked them up yelling or talking in the background, which are in this huge forest. And the sound will bounce off the trees a little bit. You'll have some sound maybe work its way over to this recorder and actually pick it up. If you have the static generator next to this, it could drown those sounds from the background out, where it'll only pick up the static and then your voices.
And it'll also provide, you know, the raw material.
Yeah. I know it's a bit confusing what I just said. but what I'm saying is, I mean, that's the problem we're having with the stuff that we just recorded last night. Is that okay? Well, we hear something weird. Could it be Rob and Bruce, you know, in the background, kind of jittering around or saying something that maybe we didn't hear with our own ears, and the recorder picked it up because it was set to ultra sensitive, or you know, could it genuinely be some type of anomalous sound? I don't know. Would you recommend trying to put that noise source right next to the recorder, Terry?
Yes, and try and give it enough energy to manipulate it to produce the sound, because from what I've seen, the background noise can be very high.
Uh-huh.
And as a matter of fact, it seems that the best EVPs are generated by fairly high background noises. So if it's fairly close to the mic and is generating a lot of background noise, that might be the best.
Okay, cool.
For these digital recorders, though, the only reason I can think of to have an external mic for a digital recorder would be as if...
They're not needed on a digital because there's no moving parts.
Right. Oh, okay.
That's the whole base
but
of the digital.
Right. The only thing I can think of is if the built-in microphone didn't have the frequency response that you desired.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you could.
That would be the only reason.
I don't even know if my Olympus, for example, even has a port, has a plug for an external mic. I don't think it does.
It may not.
It has a headphone jack, of course, but it don't have. That's the only hole I know in that thing. Besides the USB port. That's it.
Olympus, I think, has good frequency response. It's got some good stuff. But I'll tell you what, you guys.
Let's take a break.
Let's take a quick break. And we'll be back with more after this.
This is very interesting, too.
Oh, I know.
We're really breaking this stuff down. Terry, this is really cool.
Especially since we were doing,
last night. Yeah,
it's
great.
Yeah, so if you keep experimenting, what will happen is you'll eventually stumble onto a system that works.
Yeah, and that's what we want to do.
That's what we're looking for, too.
So we'll talk more about that and more about Missouri. What's going on in Missouri? We'll find all that out after the break with Terry Gamble of Ghosts and Haunts in Missouri
right
here
back.
On Ghostly Talk.